This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best, what you people score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you yawn and grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a very good Tuesday morning, October the 19th, 2021. I had a nice night's sleep. A lot of good sports last night. A lot for us to get into. The NBA starts tonight. The Rangers. Oh, my God. What a win last night. A win, Rick. I know that's foreign to some people on the show, but the Rangers with a win last night. And let's get rolling. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Dave. Their win, my loss. Stayed up for that entire game last night.
No.
I'm telling you right now, I couldn't listen. You got Shesterkin playing as well as he played yesterday, especially in that second period. Rangers did not have a good second period.
And no.
He was phenomenal. I can't go to sleep on that.
So I can't believe it. So you get like these huge Yankees, Red Sox, wild card. You're like, you know what? I'll wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll watch it. But you have Rangers, Maple Leafs, game four, and you're all the way through.
You see that kind of goaltending we saw yesterday? That's what I enjoy watching.
That's what moves the needle for you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Save DiPietro!
But that game ended at like almost 10 o'clock.
Oh, I know. But staying up for that overtime was worth it. Back and forth.
Woo!
Wow. I mean, some of the saves. I mean, Shesterkin turns that puck over. Matthews has an open net. He comes back, makes a save. Then Trouba makes a good play on Matthews with an open net. And then they finally, I mean, the Rangers were getting dominated in the faceoff circle. Dominated the whole game. And then, of course, off a faceoff, it's Panarin gets the puck and he ends up putting it in.
Yep. Rangers win 2-1. Yep. Extra. Beautiful. Oh, what a great win.
Now, that was a tremendous win because you didn't deserve to win that game, but your goalie played phenomenal yesterday.
Yeah, we had like the opposite of the Bills last night. We didn't deserve to win it. We won it. They deserved to win it, and they didn't.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, his feet slipped down at the end there, but I don't know, man. Derrick Henry is from a different planet.
He is. Now, listen, I stand by you never, ever, ever take a running back two, but if you were ever to take a running back second overall, he'd be the guy that you take. How did he go 44?
Dude, I mean, well, I think because, I mean, his running style, right? I mean, he's a big running back. Like, even when you watch him, like, watch him last night, it doesn't make sense to your eyes that somebody that big and that strong should run that fast. Like, he runs away from people because he's got that real upright running style, and he just takes off. And they're showing, I mean, yesterday during the game, they're showing his off-season workout regimen. How about when he's doing the fast feet on the hill, gets through it, and then runs, then sprints up the hill? The dude's a beast.
He really is.
But poor Mario Addison, who's not a small man. He just, I mean, stiff arm right to his chest, he goes down. And then poor Micah Hyde in the middle of the field, like, uh-oh. I'm going to have to tackle this dude.
But he does it every single week. I mean, you look at his stats. I mean, it's you know, and he gets, you know what's amazing about him?
He gets better
as the game goes on.
Yep. He wears like, you down.
You know, he started out actually slow last night until he had the run. He was fine. He didn't do anything special. A couple of 4-yard runs, 5-yard run, and then he breaks it off. And then as the game goes on, and what I like about them is even when they're behind in a game, they never, because you can't with him, abandon the running game, and they just feed him the ball over and over and over and over, and he gets better and better and better and better. That was a really good football game last night.
Well, they wear you down, right? I mean, you're also talking about a guy. I mean, he almost got to 22 miles an hour last night at his size, 22 miles an hour, which is insane. But, I mean, we brought up the clip the other day. You loved it, the Brandon Staley clip, talking about why you need to run the football.
That's right.
And, I mean, that's exactly what Tennessee does. I mean, Steve Levy said it last night. You're going to make business decisions. Like, they make you make business decisions because they're going to beat the hell out of you with Derrick Henry. They got, I mean, A.J. Brown is one of the more physical receivers in the game.
Julio and he's not Jones. Even healthy.
No, he's not even healthy. But, and that's how you protect a defense that's not great, right? You possess the football. But the Bills, I mean, the Bills will be kicking themselves for not winning that game last night.
Yeah. I mean, look, the thing is, they're going to win the division. I don't think there's
yes.
two ways about it. They're going to win the division. But anything, I think it's fair to say, anything short of a Super Bowl championship is a disappointment for the Bills this year or no?
Well, I think in their minds, right? I feel like they, you know, that win against Kansas City.
If you were a Bills fan, right? I know it's hard for us to think about being a fan of a team that's so good. But if you were a fan of the...
I would say a trip. A trip to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so anything less than a trip to the Super Bowl you look at as it didn't work out the way we hoped this year, right?
Yeah, I mean, you slayed the dragon, right? Like, after last season, the coaching staff and players to a man said, you know, the team we're going to have to beat if we want to achieve our goals, the Kansas City Chiefs. And this season, that's exactly what they did.
And Kansas City doesn't seem to be, and it's a long year and there's a lot of games left, but they don't seem to be at the same level that they've been over the last couple of seasons. So my point is this. That loss last night could mean that you now don't have home field against, I don't know, a Chargers, a Ravens, one of those teams, and you'd kick yourself. Because in the grand scheme of things, you're going to win the division. I think everybody thinks the Bills are still by far the class and the best team in this division. But that could mean home field, which in theory could mean the difference between you going to the Super Bowl and not going to the Super Bowl.
Well, I think the other difference, though, too, for them is they have to find a way to establish a running game. They have to. I mean, that's clearly something that they have to get better at if they want to win the Super Bowl. As good as Josh Allen is, you know, scrambling around, and you saw that, I mean, his second to last play right there where he was half a yard. I mean, he's half a yard from the first down there by the goal line, and then his feet slip out at the end there on the fourth down play. But they have to find a way to run the football. They have to. I'll tell you right now, the sleeper Super Bowl team for me right now.
Wait, let me think. So you're obviously going AFC, right?
Yeah, we're talking about the AFC. Stay in the AFC.
Sleepy, you said, by the way?
I meant sleeper, yeah. Oh. I'm a little sleepy, yeah, so I meant sleeper.
The sleepy Super Bowl team. Well, I don't think it's anybody in the West.
This guy doesn't play sleepy, I can tell you that.
Play sleepy. The North? See, I'm thinking either Ravens. But it's a sleepy pick.
The Ravens are a sleeper pick, yeah. With all the injuries the Ravens are dealing with. I mean, they're down to...
So that would be a sleepy pick?
Yeah, that's a sleepy pick.
That's the sleepy pick you're talking about.
I mean, Lamar Jackson's taking his game to a whole different level. Whole different level.
He really is. And it's amazing. I don't know why. I don't love Lamar Jackson.
I don't know how you couldn't love the guy.
Well, no. Don't get me wrong. He's terrific. He's an amazing athlete. He wins games. I just don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know that style of play translates to winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I think the one thing he's shown you, because the guy gets better every single offseason, he works on whatever he's deficient in and then comes back and he's better at it the following season. I mean, he's established in his ability. Like, he can deliver the ball from the pocket. He can now.
He's getting better. I agree.
He's still a freakish athlete with the ball in his hands.
You know what it is? This would be the thing that worries me. And maybe it's old school thinking and it's not fair, but I don't know how sustainable that is. Yes, he's, 25 years old. He'll be good for certainly another couple of years. Once his athleticism, maybe it changes. Maybe, you know, he becomes a better pocket quarterback and that changes. But once his athleticism starts to wane a little bit, is he going to be the same level of quarterback? Like, it's hard for me to envision great Lamar Jackson at 31 years old.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Lamar Jackson at 31 years old. We're talking about sleeper Super Bowl team this season.
Well, you know what? So what are they? They're 5-1, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's actually having a better season this year than he had in his MVP season right now.
He's having a great year. He's having and the thing that's incredible to me, and then you go back to the Giants, because everything for me does, and you're like, yeah, they look how the running back just doesn't even matter all that much. They have Devontae Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, Tyson Williams. Who else do they have? Latavius Murray. I mean, they have just, oh, yeah, we'll take these journeymen, because they have to, because this is the situation, right? Gus Edwards goes out, they're forced into, and look what
they're
able to do.
Dobbins went down. Edwards went down. They lost both corners. Their left tackle's not playing. I mean, you name it. They've been ravaged by injuries. And, I mean, it hasn't... Maybe it catches up to them, but right now, I mean, in the moment, with how well he's playing...
So right now, would you say Baltimore is your favorite in the AFC?
Well, let's go through the AFC quickly, right?
All right,
so it's
well,
Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's right there at the top of the list.
Yep, but they're now a game behind Baltimore.
Kansas City, I don't trust that defense.
Well,
I trust the quarterback's going to clean this up, but mean, he's not the only
one
get in.
I mean, all this thought about they're in trouble. They might be in trouble for their goal, which is to win the whole thing. They're not in trouble to make the playoffs in my mind.
No, I'm not saying trouble. We're talking about teams to win the Super Bowl. You keep changing the conversation. You went from sleeper team this year to I can't see what Lamar Jackson's going to be at 31 to now. Like, let's just focus on what we're trying to do here this season.
I look at in my mind right now, Buffalo as the favorite to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC.
As the favorite, you got Buffalo?
Yes.
I would say right now, especially with what I just saw the Ravens do to the Chargers, I would probably say I got the Ravens and the Bills probably right there at the top. Ravens, Bills right there at the top.
So those are your top two.
Right now, then the tier below that, I would go
Chargers?
Chargers, Kansas City, Tennessee. But that's about it. I mean, your loaded AFC doesn't look so loaded now.
Oh, wait, first of all, I said it last season.
NFC feels more loaded this year than the AFC.
When did I say loaded AFC?
You said that last year.
Have I repeated that this year?
No, I was just making a point. It's not as loaded as you said
because
last year.
It pains you. That's the truth. The truth is, I had a statement which you thought was absurd, and you destroyed me for it. And I could not have been more right, and you could not have been more wrong. And it's haunted you for the last year. Every day you wake up, you're like, oh, I can't believe he got it. I can't believe he was so dead on with that. He was lucky. And then you started to mock me for such a genius take. And now even a year later, you still bring it up as if it pains you. Let it go.
It was one of the greatest takes you've ever had in your life. And I'm willing to accept it. Now, you're taking out on the K-Show that they played numerous times yesterday where Peter went after you, and I was disappointed you didn't call in. I felt like you should have called in yesterday.
I wasn't listening. I didn't know it took place. What happened?
A savage attack. It was a savage attack to you. He claimed that the only reason we brought up RJ not getting his wedding gift yet was as a distraction because of how you embarrassed yourself on
Now, I saw this on Twitter, and this is why he's a complete fraud. Complete fraud. I didn't bring up at all. I did not bring up the lack of a wedding gift to RJ. That was you.
Yeah, but it was an organic story. Like, we didn't get there because we were trying to set a distraction.
I don't understand what he's talking about. We destroyed the Giants for probably the better part of 3 hours yesterday. I was screaming at Santiago. I'm incensed to the nth degree. I'm distracting nothing. We're on for 3 hours. We're talking about, I don't even know how it came up, and you were just, I think we were talking about RJ's wedding, and then all of a sudden, oh, I know what it was, because we were discussing what a great guy he was, that he picked up the suits and brought out a present to you on Long Island.
No, it was the thank you cards.
And then you
just
said,
thank you cards yet.
Right. Well, no, but I brought the thank you cards up after. And then organically, you said, by the way, did Peter get you a wedding
present? No, that is not what happened. No.
I think it is.
The show. No, it isn't. You brought up, you criticized RJ because you didn't get your thank you card.
No.
Yes.
I brought up the thank you cards after.
No.
I'm telling you.
RJ, please go back to the tape. You brought up the thank you cards, and then in defense of RJ, I said maybe he's waiting to get all his gifts.
I don't think
so. Has Peter given you your gift yet? That's how it came up.
Really?
I'm positive. I'm 100% positive.
Yeah. Now that you say that, it does make sense. But is it fair to say I didn't even bring up Peter?
No, yeah. Listen, you organically, I mean, it was your attempt because you were just criticizing and attacking everyone yesterday.
And I'll do it again, by the way. I'll do it again.
Well, of course you will, because you're a savage animal. And you like to tear down your teammates. So I was defending RJ, who's the greatest guy I know.
I love RJ.
That's how we got into it.
I love Raymond's one I don't care for. RJ, I adore.
Yeah, he's tired. You're sick of him. I can't even say what you said, I mean, multiple times again before the show today. Maybe we'll release the initials and people can figure it out themselves, but
I got to get out of this group text, by the way.
No, you're in the group text.
No, and I was actually
screenshots. You love it.
I was actually Googling last night how to remove yourself from group texts, and I'm not there yet.
No,
did you Googled or you told Sherry to Google?
No, I Googled. If I asked her to do it, I would be out of the group text.
He does it every Wednesday and Saturday for Stump Rothenberg. He knows how to use Google. Stop.
I do know how to use the Google. And I Googled it,
know.
And I couldn't quite figure out. I think because Santiago is cheap and won't get an iPhone, I think that it makes it more difficult. But I'm going to get there, and I'm going to remove myself. And then when RJ is like, all right, by the way, guest at 7:30 today, I'll have no idea. I won't know anything.
Yeah, because you don't read the show sheet. You don't even look over your reads.
I look over my reads.
It's a lack
what
of
reads?
Respect for poor RJ. What?
Hang on. What reads do you want me to look over right now?
You have to have reads.
No, no. You might have reads. RJ, do I have reads?
The email says Dave, comma, reads to follow.
Yeah.
They're coming.
So you're airing RJ out is what you're doing.
I'm airing nobody out.
Now you're blaming RJ.
No. What you do is air out dirty laundry on the show. All right. You say, well, you don't even look at your reads. When is it that you want me to look at the reads when I don't have them yet? I'm not airing anybody out. I don't think it's RJ's fault.
All you have to say is, of course, I look at the reads. That's all you have to say. That's it.
But I don't have them.
Well, you don't have to admit that.
Well, why not?
Well, because it's, I mean.
Oh, we got to pretend here on the show. We're the open book show. That's what we are. We're honest with people. That's why our takes are so good. Because it's always honesty. I don't have the reads yet. I don't think it's a huge deal. But you say you haven't looked at them. You're right. I haven't. Why? I don't have them yet. And now everyone listening can know right now that at this moment, I don't have the reads.
I'm up all night. He sends me them last night. I'm sitting there watching overtime. I'm going through my reads.
What do you mean your reads? How many reads do you have?
Multiple reads today. What? Multiple.
There's no way you have more than that. I would put, if we're in Vegas, the over-under is 2.5 for your reads.
Big over today. Take the over. I even got an in-content read. How about that?
I don't
that
even
one?
Know about that.
You have to team me right up.
I know nothing about that. Absolutely nothing about that. All right. So, jumping off point is football and really just making fun of everyone. 800-919-3776. We'll hear from Rosenberg, that little slimy guy. I mean, for him to say stuff about me is Washington football team was almost as bad as the Giants.
Well, he took a victory lap for all 4 hours yesterday. All 4 hours.
For what?
Because he leads the K show in picks.
All right, I don't care
He's
about that.
He's been on fire. And then, because I knew it was going to happen, you told him that his pick was an awful pick. And he said, I'm going to beat you. I'm taking the Rams, and I'm gonna beat you right over the head against your New York Giants. And you said, I got to be honest, that's a terrible pick.
I didn't like the pick for him.
Well, he loved it, and he went with it. And then the best part is, too, is he picked Arizona, and you picked Cleveland.
All right, so you know the broken clock theory? That's what it was. Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
And the Purple Birds.
That's what we should have taken. It's the Purple Birds.
Derrick Henry and the Tennessee.
We should have taken the other Derrick Henry team, the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, but the Purple Birds cover too. I mean, easily.
Yeah, we could have taken anything involved with either of Derrick Henry's teams. We would have
either of Derrick Henry's teams would have been good.
we could have taken the Purple Birds. We could have taken the Tennessee Titans. Any team that Derrick Henry plays on, we could have taken and won, but we didn't, and we lost, and we're now a game behind them.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast,
and welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now he's taking shots at every receiving core in the NFL. This receiving core doesn't have as many touchdowns as Trayvon Diggs, and neither does this. And now
certainly not the Giants.
See, and now we get the. But here's the thing: It's not like I'm sitting here defending the Giants, or I sit here and I say, "Boy, the Giants are really good." And now you're like, you have to chop me down at the knees. I tell you, the Giants stink, and you still need to do it.
This isn't about the Giants.
Yeah, but you're doing like the Eminem 8 Mile routine where you just you pick out all the different flaws so Ray can't go after you. If the shoe was on the other foot and the Cowboys stunk and the Giants were good.
No. You can't.
No, what do you mean,
I would not do this.
Of course you would.
No, I would not. He has some man singing a Cowboys song on his Facebook last night. He will not stop. Stop
I tell
it.
My kids the same exact thing. When Ella and Milo fight, listen, Ella, just pretend like it doesn't bother you. Otherwise, he's going to keep doing it. Just pretend like it's not bothering you, but clearly it is. I mean, you're on Facebook, you're on all social media.
Well, I go on Facebook because I'm trying to avoid real life of the Giants, and I'm just like, oh, I wonder whose birthday today is. I wonder if any child has a communion.
You're looking for reasons to be upset, clearly.
And this guy, every single turn, on the group chat, on the Facebook, I'm sure he does it on Instagram.
How about them Cowboys?
I mean, last night, well, it's nice that Stephon Diggs can have as many touchdowns as his brother. I mean, let it go, man.
He's not until you acknowledge the truth
right now. Santiago, you're living rent-free in his brain right now.
Don't even
in
have to try.
Kitchen, you got the Gotham Steel, non-stick to the max, just flipping eggs. Frozen meatballs, maybe a piece of raisin bread.
You know, you make fun of the frozen meatballs. So I do shopping on Mondays and set up some food for the week, right? And I go to the deli counter. I buy some beautiful deli meats. Gorgeous, right? Buy these freshly made breaded chicken wings that he loves. I bring them home, heat them up for him. I don't like these. Can I?
He wants the meatballs.
Can I have the meatballs? I'm like, come on, man.
The kid knows what he likes.
So I think there are times you look at me and say, boy, questionable parenting decision, but I don't think this is one of those times. I'm attempting to get him to eat other things. He just won't do it.
Yeah, but I mean, at a certain point, like, I mean, you exposed him to the frozen meatball, so I can't blame him for loving the frozen meatball. I'm saying maybe if you had made some, you know, some Dave Rothenberg homemade meatballs, maybe he'd like your homemade meatballs instead of the frozen
meatballs. But that's out of my purview. Like, Rothenberg homemade meatballs, I can't do that. Go to the deli counter, I buy some beautiful deli meats.
everything that you bring up about food always is pre-prepared. I mean, it's pre-prepared food.
Because I don't cook.
Yeah, but you can learn to cook. You got time to cook.
A couple things. A, it feels like, and I know that the chefs out there and the cooks out there and you out there will be upset with me. The worth it ratio doesn't stand it for me. Like, for me to spend an hour cooking to eat it in 4.5 minutes, it doesn't work. I don't want to be involved in that kind of ratio.
I'm telling you right now, the payoff when you make a delicious meal and people sit down at the table and they eat it in that first bite, you can just tell. You get that, there's nothing better.
Yeah, but I feel that if I've purchased it.
We have to work on that.
Go to the deli counter. I buy some beautiful deli meats.
We can take Dave to the next level.
I don't want to learn to cook. I make a good mac and cheese, very solid, a lovely oatmeal. I don't have a lot of strengths in the kitchen.
Yeah, but I think we sprinkle on a couple things. Like you already got the mac and cheese down.
Mac
so good.
And cheese,
check.
Excellent. Excellent.
Okay, now we figure out this whole steak debacle that you get going because you call yourself a grill master. Meanwhile, you're cutting the steaks. You this thermometer.
So now we're having the thermometer. You're a promise guy. That's what you are. You're a promise but never deliver guy. I've figured that out in 5 years of working with you.
Well, how am I going to give you the thermometer now? I mean, it's not even. I said I was getting to you for Hanukkah.
Well, you know what?
It hasn't started yet.
Just because you're you present. How much is a meat thermometer? $20?
Well, no. Come on. No.
Well,
I'm getting the one that goes right to your phone with the app and everything else.
You think I'm going to be able to use that?
Yes.
I can't figure out how to deal with my group text. I'm going to have
a thermometer.
Why do
right
I need
now?
The phone?
Sherry sets it because this way you don't have to keep checking it. You can put the thermometer in the piece of meat.
Oh, it stays in there and then I get updates?
Then it will tell you what temperature the steak is at. Yes.
Like oh, that kind of party.
That is incredible.
This is what I'm talking about.
Wow. There's a special app. An application, as some would say.
Yes, an application. Sherry sets it up. One-time deal. Boom, you put the thermometer in. Phone pops up. You're sitting there. You're watching a game, whatever it is, and it's telling you where the meat is at.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
So now you got the steak, which is perfectly cooked. You got the delicious mac and cheese. And now all we need is one more item, and you got a full meal, the Dave Rothenberg special.
Maybe like an apple crisp.
Yeah, but how about that?
Now we're talking.
Now I got the meat, I got the side, and I got dessert.
That's right. And I can heat up peas.
That's easy.
Yeah. Anybody
frozen
can do
peas,
that.
You heat those up, season them right.
Yeah. We're not talking about like sauteing broccoli. Yeah, no, I'm fine with that.
Saute some spinach. That'd take you 2 seconds.
Yeah, I could do that. I can actually do that.
This is what I'm saying, though. Now, all of a sudden, people are impressed. They come to the house. Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
Beautifully cooked piece of meat. I got spinach.
Don't think I'm Gordon Ramsay.
That's what I'm
saying. I start yelling at people. They won't know the difference.
This is what I'm talking about. Now, all of a sudden, Sherry's friends come over for this meal. They're like, oh, God, Sherry, you are a lucky woman. This guy can cook, too.
I think they say that anyway, to be honest. I think that often she hears, boy, you're a lucky. This is a great guy.
I think there's some trepidation, though, when they say that.
No, I don't think so. Have I ever told you this? I don't even know if I should open up Pandora's box.
No, open it right up.
Right up? But RJ's right telling me I got a break, and now I have this to tell you. So I what do I do? Because I don't want to get on the bad side of RJ.
I think we tease it, and then Pandora's box will be open at the,
wide
the
open.
Next segment.
Wide open. You will, of all the people, you will love this story. You, Rick, the most. Everyone will appreciate it. You will weep over this.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I'll tell you what, too. Why else I was locked into that Rangers game last night?
Yeah.
And the NHL is doing a better and better job of this. We had meetings about this. The all or nothing on the Toronto Maple Leafs from last season. Like, I'm addicted to it. Like, I haven't seen it.
I heard it's terrific.
I watched the entire thing. Like, I couldn't stop because you see everything. Like, I mean, when Johnny gets knocked unconscious, right? Like, how scary that was. Like, you see that entire thing. It's like you can't, like, all of a sudden, like, you're invested in this team now for some reason because you get a chance to know all the guys. So I'm sitting there, like, as much as I'm watching the Rangers and how good Shesterkin's playing, like, I'm also, for some reason, like, invested in the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, because you have a connection to them, of course.
It's so well done, man.
But, yeah, you pull at the heartstrings of people, and they're going to react to it. So we got to get into the Giants, and I'll ask you, do we get right into the Giants now? Do I pay off the tease of what I promised you with the story? I mean, you tell me. What do we do?
Well, I'm ready. Like, I mean, you teased me. I spent the last couple minutes thinking about what this Pandora's box could be, so I'm ready. Like,
we're going to open it right up. All right, so 1-800-919-3776. So I'll tell you. All right, so Sherry and I are dating for a brief time. Maybe, I don't know, maybe a month, something in that range. And her, I don't want to say best friend, because that's a bit aggressive, but a very close friend of hers. And I find this out later, not at the time, years later, calls her and says, Sherry, I got to tell you, he's wonderful. He is absolutely wonderful.
Wow.
If you don't love him and think that you might have a real future with him, can I get a shot?
Come on.
God is my witness, I swear. And Sherry says, I'm sorry. I think he's great. I think he could be the one. I just can't step aside and give you an opportunity. Yeah. Very true.
How good is that Pandora? That may have been.
How good is that Pandora's box?
Well, I mean, it's multiple boxes. Yeah, I don't know if you could handle two at the same time, but that may have been the push that Sherry needed, though. Because let's not forget, I mean, there was some turbulence there early on with this relationship.
Well, because we had the Giants-Niners playoff game.
That's what I'm saying.
That we had to endure.
This is what I'm talking about.
And that was very early on in the relationship.
So now she knows, like, there's going to be some competition here if she lets you go.
That's right.
Wow.
Right?
What's amazing is her close friend is like, hey, listen, if you ever single him up, I'm going to be all over that.
That's right.
So what she said as opposed to what your grandmother said to Sherry.
Right. and that was as we were on the verge of, like, getting married. It might have. I'm not sure. It might have been the day of the wedding. Like, he's a lovely boy. And I don't know if the quote was, but he'll never amount to anything or something of that realm. And that's my Nana. And yet her friend says, boy, if you're not going to really have a serious relationship with him, can I please get involved?
Do you still see this friend?
We're in touch, yes.
Well, what do you mean in touch? Like,
well,
what does that mean?
She doesn't live in the area anymore.
Is she married?
She's married with children, yes.
Okay. That could be an interesting little dinner party. A couple glasses of wine.
What do you think happens?
I don't know. Maybe you go like the LaGreca Key Party style, maybe?
Wow. But I will say this. Had I known this was taking place, Sherry is such a better... I don't even want to say option. Like, such a better choice of these two.
Well, yeah. I mean, you found your person. There's no question about that. I mean, I sat with Sherry the entire... RJ's entire, I mean, cocktail hour, dinner, everything else.
Uh-huh.
I talked to her the most. And yeah, I mean, this is... Listen, you got lucky. I don't know what you did, but you got lucky.
You don't understand what I have going on. I'm a tremendous catch.
Take me out for some Taco Bell and let's go.
You're a cheap date.
Cheap date. I mean, looking for a lot.
You're a sports savant.
Sports savant, which I'm sure moves the needle with the single ladies.
You can drive the kids wherever they need to go.
Anywhere.
Great with vendors.
I can help with certain homeworks.
Certain homeworks, yeah. Yep. But you know your limitations.
That's right.
No one orders deli meat like you do.
Nope.
And there has to be some other hidden quality that I would at some point like to...
Go to the deli counter. I buy some beautiful deli meats.
Speaking of meat, there has to be something else. There has to be.
I don't know what you're speaking of. But I don't want to give up the meat. Maybe you're accurate. Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt wants to join us here. Good morning, Matt. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, good morning. I'm a big fan, bro, but let me tell you something. You got to stop whining about Rosenberg picking on you for the Giants or whatever. And then you talk about your shopping and beautiful deli meats. I mean, it's not a good sound. You know, you're on the if you're on TV, you call it a look, but on the radio, it's not a good sound for you, bro.
I think I'm doing okay, though, man. First of all, I don't think there was any whining about Rosenberg. All I'm saying is he's saying things that are not true.
He won't stop. That's whining, bro.
All right, Matt, you're dead to me.
No, goodbye. You're a whiner. Matt's not wrong. I don't need
Matt at 5:40 in the morning to call up and start doing this.
You've been whining a lot. The Giants have put you in a spot.
I don't have a lot. Is it fair to say that I don't have a lot right now when it comes to my Giants?
No, you don't have much at all. Maybe not even a head coach. Who knows?
No. And speaking of the head coach, every time he opens his mouth, you know what was adorable when you're competitive? What's really attractive when you're on the verge of winning a division? It's not so cute when your team can't win a football game. Joe Judge yesterday, don't worry, guys. There's nothing to see here. Things will get better. Here's Joe Judge.
This is definitely going to get better. So there you go. So I don't know what kind of guarantee they want, but I can assure everyone out there is a Giants fan, and they want to know when it's going to turn. I can tell them right now, we're working tirelessly to make sure we get this thing turned in the right direction, not just for short-term results, but for long-term success.
Great. I mean,
well,
I don't
believe that.
There's
going to be no long-term success. Like, you don't have to worry about that if he doesn't start having some short-term success here. I mean, someone needs to explain that to him.
Why am I to believe this is going to get better, by the way?
Well, I don't think he can believe it's going to get better. I mean, you may get a couple of these games, like, I mean, Carolina with no Christian McCaffrey. That would be a humongous win for the Giants
You think the Giants win that game, though?
I think they have a chance. I think it's a winnable game. Yeah.
Do you know how bad it is? So I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday, and he can't stand Joe Judge. He's never liked him, in fairness to him. And he says, I got to get this guy out of here. And he said, you know how bad it is, Dave? So tell me. I'm rooting against the Giants this Sunday against Carolina.
He's a tough guy.
He said, I just want to lose games. I want to strip it down. I want to be done. That's what they've done to the fan base. They've made it so unwatchable and so repulsive that the own fans are rooting against this team to get eventually what they want.
Which is the worst place as a fan you can be. And I've been there plenty with the Jets, rooting against your team to win. But I told you this from the beginning. I told you this the second Joe Judge was hired and he stood in front of a microphone and all the other stuff we heard about going, you know, what was going on with coaches running laps and everything else. That's fine if you have the wins, if you have the success. If you don't, that gets old in a hurry. This is not college. This is not high school. This is grown men. Grown men that if you put them in the position to be successful and win, they'll buy in. And I give them credit. I mean, Saquon, Daniel Jones, all the guys, all the team leaders bought in to what he was selling. And, I mean, it was 6 wins, but still the division was awful. So you were right there at the very end. Couple plays here and there, Evan Engram against the Eagles. I mean, if Daniel Jones doesn't pull his hamstring and everything else, like, it was a chance you could win that division. But again, it was only 6 wins. And now you go into this season with high hopes.
That's right. I mean, I heard 9.
You're
9 wins, 10 wins, competing for the division. You're October 19th, and it's not, are you going to get in? It's how bad will it get? Because this season is another lost season.
Dave, you're 6 weeks into the season, and at halftime, you have to challenge you guys to continue to compete, which as a professional athlete is the expectation.
And the fans are booing you off the field. And you've embarrassed yourself in front of the
team. Your owner's nowhere to be found.
Of the 2011 team.
Your owner's not nowhere to be found.
Right. Well, what would you be?
Well, I probably would be, yeah. I mean, this is my team. I would probably be there, yeah. You can't handle being booed?
I don't know if it's either, he can't handle it or he doesn't want to take away from the celebration that was for the 2011 team. That's some celebration.
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe he just doesn't want to draw attention to himself. So he's not getting booed.
I mean, he walks down the hallways. I mean, think about that. He's in his home. He's owned this team. His family's owned this team since the day he was born. And he's looked at as public enemy number one right now by the fan base.
He hasn't done a good job. He hasn't.
A good job. But it's time. It is time to get away from the old Giants way of we bring in guys that we're comfortable with. And Brandon Staley's of the world. Brian Daboll's of the world. New, young, progressive, smart football guys. analytics-driven football people is the way to go now.
But that starts with the GM, too. I mean, that's
what I'm saying.
Be the first step. That's going to be the first step. And then, I mean, you find the guy you feel is the most qualified, and then you let him make the decisions.
But you agree with me, right? Joe Judge is on very thin ice right now.
Yeah, I mean, the last 11 games are going to tell you everything you need to know about Joe Judge and how this team continues to compete or doesn't compete. Because in the second half of that game, it didn't feel like there was a whole lot of compete left. And the fact that he kept Daniel Jones out there, I mean, we played the game yesterday. Who's on the offensive line? Your franchise quarterback, I mean, was out on his feet. Out on his feet to the point where, you know, Cowboys defenders were concerned, like they needed to catch him in case he fell. And he's back. He clears concussion protocol. You're doing quarterback sneaks, and it's 38-3 with, I mean, an unrecognizable offensive line, and he's
but
still out there.
Why is he in the game?
Slinging passes.
You were of the mindset, don't play him in the game. I was not. And I heard Michael saying he was not either. Like, I thought, right or wrong, if he passed protocol, you play him. But down 38-3, what is to be gained? And Mark Schlereth is just like, well, he can come up with some continuity with the receivers. That's chemistry. Why he's staying. Like, he didn't know what to say.
Well, there was nothing to be said. I mean, Schlereth is probably trying to change his flight. Let's get out of here early. Because it was over. I mean, that's the end of the second quarter into the first possession of the second half. It was night-night. Game was over. Over. And you can't tell me that, you know, whatever Joe Judge said in the locker room was effective going into the second half.
Clearly not.
I mean, the Rams had the ball for almost 10 minutes to start the second half.
Clearly not. But how could you leave that guy in the game? You're down 38-3 and you're leaving your, like you said, franchise quarterback. And I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, currently he's your franchise quarterback. It's not okay. Mike Glennon.
Sixth
overall pick.
Right. So you leave him in the game? How could you do that?
Because it goes back to what he's preaching in the locker room is we compete. Every single one of us compete.
But they don't compete.
Minutes.
They're not. You just watched it. He thinks that was competing?
I'll say this, too. One of the other things, too, that I've noticed throughout my career as you go level to level, and, I mean, Sherry would know this, too, because she coaches and everything else. How you coach has to change dependent on the level, right? Like, coaching high school is different than coaching college.
Right.
Coaching college is different than pro. Coaching, like, you know, I had a really good coach in the AHL with Bridgeport, but how he coached in the AHL was completely different than how he had to coach in the NHL. And one of the things I heard yesterday, which I thought was a terrific point somebody made, is that part of the job of the head coach at this level with grown men is to show the guys in that locker room that you care about them and you're going to protect them. And that's not what Joe Judge did with Daniel Jones. It's not. He did not protect his young quarterback.
Feels
you
like
know
just the opposite, no?
Well, yeah, exactly right. Like, you know what that kid's all about. That's why I love him. I mean, that's why I like him. I like what the kid is made of. I like his temperament. I think the kid competes. He'll do whatever it takes to try to win. You've seen this. That's how he got hurt in the first place. So, of course, he's going to want to play. He wants to prove to everybody that this is his job. Sometimes you got to protect the player from himself. And because you got a coach that's more concerned about the message than the results, he's focused on, well, every player on this team competes for all 60 minutes. Come on, man. Sometimes you have to do what's right.
Yeah, no, you're right. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, he looks ridiculous. It's like, take the temperature of where we are with the fan base right now. No, nobody wants to hear the stuff that you're discussing. Nobody wants to hear
the
you
players don't want to hear
stuff.
It.
No, nobody wants to.
Show me how to win. That's all I care about. Show me how to win. Professional athletes don't need rah-rah speeches and everything else. Occasionally, it's nice. Like, sometimes you do need it. Like, you'll have coaches that'll do, like, either a fiery pregame speech, or they'll bring somebody in, or you'll have your video guy put together, like, a highlight tape with great music. We'll get you fired up. But for the most part, I mean, if you have a good team, it's a bunch of guys that are self-starters that'll get themselves fired up, or, you know, the leaders in that locker room will get you fired up. Like, there are certain, you know, things. Building relationships with your players is one of those big things. Showing each player that you care about them, or putting them in position to win games. Like, hey, coach, you know, they want to know what they should be doing and why they should be doing it. That's what they want to know. Like, tell me how we're going to win this game. I don't need rah-rah, because it's a, listen, both teams are playing hard. That shouldn't be the difference. It's going to be, you know, how are we going to scheme? What are we going to do to give us the advantage, to give us the edge? care about your submarine with the hole in it and everything else. Stop, oh, please. Enough.
Submarine is, it's sinking. Now, you can join Chris Carlin Sunday, November the 7th for a live broadcast and Giants viewing party, Resorts World Catskills. The live broadcast begins at 11 o'clock in the morning, goes until kickoff of the Giants and Raiders game. Five Carlin listeners will be treated to a VIP weekend, including a Saturday night casino hotel stay.
Wow. I love candles.
Sunday, this is big stuff. Sunday live broadcast and a personal viewing party with Chris Carlin at Sportsbook 360 with food and beverage. It says food and bev, but I imagine that means beverage,
I think it's
right?
Beverage, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Be listening to Carlin tonight starting at 7 o'clock for your chance to score a VIP spot. All from Resorts World Catskills. Bet on sports, win big on live table games, and feast at celebrity-inspired restaurants. Visit rwcatskills.com. This is a giveaway.
Who you gave?
No, it's not.
No, and you got to imagine, too. I mean, it's a Carlin event. The food is going to be outrageous.
And lots of it.
Plenty.
Right?
All you can eat. All you can handle.
I think nachos
maybe. Listen, if it's me, maybe I lay Carlin just shirtless right on the buffet table.
No.
We arrange some finger food and then maybe throw some dipping sauce in the belly button.
No, I don't think anybody wants
to. You know what? I'm going to take my shirt off. You have to look at this.
We actually did it in Miami during Such's bachelor party. We arranged sushi on Pete's naked chest and then put soy sauce in his belly button.
Oh, God.
That was 270p, too. He was a big boy.
Why? And why would you do that?
Well, because we thought it was funny.
And people are licking the navel and then eating the sushi?
Yeah.
People
well, not licking the navel. Like, you come over, you take a piece
of sushi. Were there men there?
There were men, multiple men. You dip the sushi right in his belly button and eat it.
I'm a boater.
And then Fat Pete got all crazy, and he decided to smear all the sushi all over his body and then belly
flop
into the pool.
Those were huge fat people. Oh, my God. You never told me Pete was 270.
At a time, oh, yeah, he got huge, man.
That's enormous.
Oh, he was big. Real big.
How tall was
he? So imagine Pete at 270 at this bachelor party trying to wedge himself half naked into the front window of a cab.
What? The doors weren't working properly?
No, we kicked him out. He was acting up, so we kicked him out of the cab. And then I was yelling at him out the window, and he decided he was going to try to get into the window naked, like half naked. He was going to try to crawl into the window at 270.
I give up. The NHL is back on ESPN. Don't miss our very own Rick DiPietro on the coverage all season long. You can find your favorite team streaming on ESPN Plus this season, including Avalanche and Capitals tonight at 7 o'clock. Again, that's the NHL streaming on ESPN Plus. Subscribe now. Speaking of the NHL, I have at the Rangers last night. What a gorgeous victory that was. Outplayed, up in Toronto, first goal, up 1-0, then it's 1-1, into overtime they go, 3-on-3, Panarin with the goal, Shesterkin sensational, Rangers win it 2-1 in OT. How good was that?
You take it. You take it. Oh, you didn't deserve gorgeous. It, but you take it.
Nothing short of gorgeous.
No, it was phenomenal. I mean, Shesterkin in the second period especially was awesome. Overtime, he was awesome. I mean, it was, listen, your power play needs to be fixed. Your power play is not good.
At the moment. There's still 2-1-1.
No, which is fine. But I'm saying just as we move forward here, you got too much talent to have a bad power play.
But that's what I'm going to say. You have to figure the power play will fix itself at some point.
Well, I would hope so, yeah.
With that level of talent?
You can't get dominated on faceoffs the way you got dominated.
Yeah, that's been a problem for years, though.
I mean, hockey's about puck possession, especially on the power play. You lose faceoffs on the power play, your power play is going to be trash.
You're up against it. It's a very valid point. All right, quick break, come back, more Giants, little baseball, NBA starts today, CMT, Mike Tenenbaum. Wow. I mean, to say this is a loaded, loaded show from 6 to 8 a.m. leading up to KJM would be an understatement. So 1-800-919-3776. And what I don't like from you is why the guy called and lambasted me, and you just sit back and watch it and listen to it.
Oh, I agree with you. You're whiny. You've been whiny. Listen, I'm not gonna lie to the people. You've been whiny.
No, you need to defend me. Here's what should have happened.
I defended you yesterday. I sent a text message to the K Show defending you.
So what happened on the K Show that I need to know about?
Peter attacked you multiple times. He was doing a victory lap, and then he said that we used RJ's wedding and him not giving him a gift as a distraction. Which is ridiculous.
Disgusting. We'll hear from Peter next, because I am so turned off by him. I can't even believe that he walks the same earth as me.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.